All right, let's go ahead and put that beat on them.
Put all you got, that's all you got. I plead the blood. Oh, I plead the blood. I gotta say this one more time. You can't have my family. Oh, Jesus. You can't have my increase. Oh, hallelujah. You can't have my breakthrough. Because I plead the blood. Welcome, family, tonight to Let's Talk Jesus with myself, Pastor E. And yes, our forum is continually to discuss and discover Jesus as the source of our entire lives. And yes, we will completely discover, we will completely unveil all of the principles of God that we can now display through our disciple lives. And yes, for that person out there, no matter how sinful or how broken you are, Jesus loves you just as you are. But Jesus wants you, and Jesus is able to transform your life. And it doesn't matter big, small, little sin. Sin is sin. He will forgive you when you choose him. He will heal you when you believe in him. He will change the whole direction of your life when you follow him. And yes, having a relationship with God is more important than a religion with any building sector, but a relationship. See, following Jesus always involves sharing his love with others, and not just others who know him and say they fellowship with him, but those who need him. And because I tell you, the first when I met Jesus, not in church, in Sunday school, not in on the pulpit or in the choir stand, but when I really met Jesus, I was immediately challenge with how can I exemplify my life to give it to others? Because I had a privilege to do nothing else greater than to share the love of Jesus, to tell others of his love. See, that's our responsibility. Our responsibility is to embrace the privilege to follow him. I know we look at Luke 9 and 23 and we say, the Bible says, and Jesus quoted, that if you desire to follow me, Jesus, deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow. See, following him means we share him and his great love with others that need him more than we do. Oh, my God. Let's talk Jesus. I know you guys heard the opening broadcast song, and this means war. I get so excited because I'm claiming you will not have my family. You will not have my increase. You will not have my breakthrough. But that is the cry. That is the sound of victory. That is the sound of triumph. But when I really understand the war, understanding who we fight against, understanding who is the war against, understanding that the battle has already been won. But in this walk, there will be some wrestles. There will be some obstacles. There will be some situations that we must be ready for. See, for so long, someone has said, hey, just hold on, baby. Everything's going to be all right. There have been someone in that season that the change is going to come, and I believe that it came, and I believe that. But in this season, there is a cry, there is a sound of preparation.
I'm always reminded to my cry to God is that if he prepared a place for me, then I must prepare myself for the place. He says he prepared many mansions, and he was just talking about me. Read that, John 14. But in preparation, we learned that we're not always ready to be reactive to things, because that's how most people operate, is when something crazy happens, when something unordinary appears, when an obstacle shows up, we now need to scramble and react. But see, in the preparation stage, you know, first of all, you're in a war. Talking to my brothers and my sisters that are in total covenant and agreement. You are in a war. You did not win. You did not finish it. Yes, the battle has been won because Christ has paid the cost for all. But in this walk of preparation, oh, come on, can we change the terminology of how we look at it and know that I am preparing myself for what has been already prepared for me. Oh, yes, but that means daily I must be ready to go to war. Oh, no, I know everything looks okay this morning. I know everything right now, for some says, he's not talking to me. But let me tell you, that is a reactive state of mind. A proactive state of mind says, no matter if I see it coming, no matter if I thought it was coming, I am going to believe in Matthew 6 and 33 and 34, and I'm going to seek those things which are above. And I know that if I keep my mind fixed on the things above, I know everything else is all right. How many times are we reminded that if we have really been raised, yes, there is a process. And if you missed that in one of our messages, please get in touch with me and we'll get you in time. But the process means that first you must be in the fold. You must not be waiting on things to happen. You must be have already stepped over to say, now let me take up. Now let me follow. Now let me deny. See, that's not a pretty picture if you really know the cross and the price that has been paid. But now we, oh my God, can go to another level. And knowing that if I am really, 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 really paying attention, and I know that I'm seeking those things which are above and those things that aren't on, I know that I'm seeking in the arena that God dwells. I know that I'm no longer paying attention to the second, the third, the fourth, the fifth, and the sixth. I apologize, and I need my prayer warriors out there to pray, because for some reason the broadcast is about to be cut off in 43 seconds, and the people that are online will be allowed to stay, but no one else will be able to enter in. So if I can get someone to message on Facebook, I'm not going to end the broadcast just because it says over, but if you're in there, don't hang up, because you will lose the broadcast. But Matthew 6 and 33, 34, I want to read this. It says, but seek first. See, when you know that you are in a position on the other side, you know you're not looking on the things of physicality. You're not looking on material. You're looking at the things that are in it. It says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. We have to know that right now is my time to be at war, to be proactive. This is no disregard to anything, but I get a lot of messages and a lot of calls saying, oh, this is going on. And I'm like, wait a minute, why you didn't call me when you knew it was coming? See, that's a reactive thing, to know that I'm calling after it's already hectic and already out of order. Chaos is dwelling. Oh, yes, we can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthened us, but we're losing the battle because we're coming too late. See, there are some areas that we get defeated. First of all, we don't ask enough questions. And then when we ask questions, we move too slow. And instead of moving too slow, we do nothing. See, the enemy comes to kill and to steal and to destroy because he's at war. He has nothing else to conquer other than chaos. He has nothing else to defeat other than your mind. He cannot kill your flesh. He cannot kill your spirit. He cannot do anything to you except guide you into a road of destruction. See, the battle is not physical. Oh, my God. The war is spiritual. Oh, is it to the left or is it to the right? No, I would beg to differ to say that if I really want to know where the war is taking place, I know it is not here in this physical realm. Paul taught us in Ephesians chapter 3, and I'm just going to just kind of summate it. So read that whole chapter. But 16 through 21 gives us a view of understanding on one accord. The Bible says that we would know the length, the width, the depth, and the height on one accord that all could understand. I don't know if you know what those dimensional factors are, but don't you know how long, how high, how wide, and how deep are the schematics that build this world? Every building you see, every pole you see, every car you see, every instrument you see is built by those four dimensional factors of how long, how wide, how and how high. But the Bible says is that when we learn, oh my God, come on, let's flip right there. Ephesians chapter 3. I love the first sentence from Paul. He says, "For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you." Yes, you were a Gentile when you were following yourself, so don't think that you're any different. But if we go over to verse 18 in chapter 3, after you read all the other given factors that lead us to here, but watch what he says. He says that we may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, length, depth, and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world end. Oh, my God. Amen. He's talking to you right now. This is the side message that for that person that says I'm not good enough, that they've always put me down. He's talking to you. That it's time for you to stop waiting on somebody to fight your battle because the battle's been won, and get up, wake up, get up and move now into the battle. The battle that has nothing to do with me. Oh, the Bible says if we flip over to chapter 6, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you," talking to me, "put your name on it also, may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness." Now, let me just slow down for a minute because I want you to understand they are not of one. See, when you are flowing in God, you flow in oneness, agreement. You flow in oneness, peace. But when you are dealing with the adversaries, you have to know they all have their own little titles. They all have their own little wages and their own little darts, fiery darts, and their own little pet peeves that will turn you from yourself into physical. Physical is when you hit me, I hit you back. Physical is when you curse me, I curse you. Physical is when you hate, I hate. See, physical has nothing to do because we wrestle not against flesh and blood. You better know that this war that you are preparing yourself for has nothing to do with fighting me. Oh, my God. This war that you are preparing, proactively stepping into the right position has nothing to do with your mate, has nothing to do with your children, has nothing to do with your relatives, has nothing to do with your boss, has nothing to do with the government, has has nothing to do with anyone, any place, anything that has to do with lift, width, death and height. Come on, look at somebody right now and say, I'm not fighting against you no more, because I can tell that you're built on how long. I can tell that you've been designed on how wide. I see the look in your eye that comes from your width. And I see now of you that you have death. Go on and play with me tonight. Google it tonight and find out that everything made in this world was made by those four precise dimensions of height, length, width, and depth, that the Bible says that we should be able to understand with all the saints, that the battle is not of what you can see, but the battle is something that is not physical, but it's spiritual. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. He couldn't have been more clear. And I know I've been fighting you back, and I know I've been blaming you back, and I know, but see, that is why I missed it for so long. Not working with the power that's in me, not letting the mind of Christ in me, not with the spirit that's in me, not the greater that's in me than the evil that's in this world, but myself. Oh, my God. I finally discovered that the battle that I'm fighting is against myself. I am my biggest enemy. My war is against me. Because, see, in my physical, I always want to react physical. I don't want to know that this is a dimensional situation. And I know that if it doesn't have life, it doesn't have God. I know that if it's not spiritual, mental, physical, I'm not a warrior. I know that even in battle, I must remember to submit to the authority. I know I must resist the enemy. I know that I have to learn to assess situations. And I know that I must continue to believe. Believe in what? My cause. My cause to tell the world that Christ is available for you. See, when I believe, I know I can maintain a constant relationship with God, and I know that the battle's not mine. I'm in war to stay sane. I am in war to resist. I am at war that I will not be defeated. But the battle is not mine, because it's already been won. Somebody tonight is going to say, you know what? I'm learning to stay in my place. I was talking to a partner, a business partner, a mentor today. And when we were sitting there, and I said, you know what? Get out the way. You cannot fix it. I cannot fix it. I cannot win the ultimate battle. Only stay consistent in the war. Oh, yeah, you see, remember the Bible says the weapons of warfare are not carnal. Do you know carnal is physical? See, that word carries power to give us the ability to persevere, the supplication to be bold. Oh, my God. The willingness to go to war. See, when you go to war, the Bible says, put on the what? Whole armor of God. Want to learn the next step of war? Go to 1 Peter 5 and 8, where it says you should be vigilant. 2 Timothy 1 and 7 is no fear. Sound mind. And we went back up from the wrestle not against flesh and blood. My favorite, one of my favorite scriptures in verse 10, it says, finally, I'm ready. See, it's not finally, oh, finally, it's over. I'm just going to wait on the Lord. No, finally, I'm ready. I'm ready to go to war. I'm looking for some warriors. I'm looking for some like-minded believers. I'm looking for someone that says, you know what, that was a word for him, but I got a word for myself. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. See, before you can put on the whole armor, before you can understand where the wrestle and where the battle is, before I can ever know what to stand against, because there are going to be some adversary attacks, I must know to be strong in the Lord, oh my God, and in the power of his might. See, when you put on the full armor of God, that has nothing to do with you. Being able to stand and withstand in the evil day. When is the evil day? Right now. See, your war is not next week. Your war did not pass. Your war is when? Right now. Oh, yeah, you can fight on the right side and you'll see help come. You know you won't be left alone. You know that he will never leave, neither forsake you. But you got to be in the right position. Oh, yes, the right position. To stand in the midst of confusion and say, no, confusion, you don't belong here anymore, because I'm at war of anything that's not pleasing to the God that I serve. You want some characteristics? Love, peace, joy, happiness. Let a little confusion come in the house. Somebody better learn the brakes. You do not belong here no more. I love y'all to death, and I'm going to pray for you up in here. But up in here, we will serve the God of peace. We will serve the God of love. And that's not meaning that I'm not praying for you, but let me tell you what I am going to be dedicated to. That the place that God dwells, he'll show up. And it's up to me to make sure he will come, that he will dwell. Oh, you think it's a joke? Wake up in your mind. Yes, every morning I abide in him. Some people go to say that now anything you ask. No. I abide in him, that his word, oh my God, could abide in me. And now I know I got some full dose of Jesus. Because now I know, oh my God, that I must stand. Verse 14, stand therefore, having girded, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14, stand there, having girded up your waist with truth. Somebody need to know the truth hurts. Why do you start with the waist? Don't you know that waist connects everything, that core? Some of us say, you know, I can lift all these weights and I can push all these weights with my legs, but when it get time to get to the nitty gritty, I can't get up, because your core is weak. The core is so important, oh my, even in a physical relationship, but in a spiritual relationship, why would he start with the waist of truth? Because don't you know truth needs to hold it together. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Don't you know that you're talking about Jesus? In the beginning was the word. The word was God. With God is God. Nothing that was made without the word. See, willing to exercise your authority means it's no longer you, but it's him. Knowing that I am in a position here on earth to resist. Check out James 4. I'm gonna James 4 and 7, but read the whole chapter. That I even can learn in Romans chapter 3 that no one is righteous. Until you get into a position where you're dead, see, because you cannot do it on your own. You do not have the ability. You do not have the strength. But him who dwells in you, you ain't no different than me. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But when you get in the right position, that means you don't sin no more. Yes, you can do it. Yes, you can do it. Every time I say this, somebody says, that's just too much. You can do it. Change your mind. Change your position. change the waiting for someone to come and be ready that it's already there. Oh, yes, as soon as you get up, he's right there trying to distract you. As soon as you try to do something right, he's right there to defeat you. He will not rest. He has nothing else to do other than to kill, steal, and destroy your mind. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, because we need to walk in the authority. I'm going to give you a couple steps today in walking in the authority. See, you're at war now. You have to know how to walk in the authority. And you have to know the word of God is right there available for you to win. Win now. You're not defeated. You're victorious. You're not torn. No, you're not. Well, everything's not perfect. It never will be. But guess what? If you never think it, you will never receive it. You will never be able to achieve it because you're still paying attention to what is what's proof worthy, what's facts. Say it all the time. Thank you, Minister Terry. I heard you say it. Facts are in rebellion to faith. What is this whole entity of relationship with God built on? Faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. We trust in a God that you've never, you see, I'm just going to say y'all ain't never seen, because I have seen him face to face, because I know how to spend time in relationship with him. And don't ask me what he looked like and how to draw it. I know I have looked into the face of the Spirit. Because of the authority that has been given to me through Jesus Christ. Number one step of authority that you can activate in your war is the name of Jesus. People be saying to me all the time, "Well, you ain't got to say nothing." Every time they come up, just say, "Jesus, Jesus, 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 Jesus." I told you guys the other Saturday about that situation in the bank. Do you know? Ooh, the old me, how you going to talk to me that way? I'm Pastor E, or I'm this, I'm that. How you going to disrespect me? I'm old enough to be your. You know what kept me from showing that? Jesus, 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 the name of Jesus. Want some proof? Look at Mark 16:17. To exercising your authority in the war zone is the word of God. And knowing that the word of God is good. A lot of us forget this, is that God started the whole situation. He wasn't the carpenter. He wasn't the builder. He spoke a word in Genesis. He says, let there be. No question, it was. And at the end of that, it was good. See, your word has life or death in it. What kind of word are you exercising? See, if you're exercising the word of yourself, the word of the world, the word of a book, the word of somebody else's opinion, and it's not the word of God, you need to stop right now, because you're going to continue to lose. I was even tested on this with a business partner. We were talking over some business stuff, and I was like, oh, no, hold on. Jesus said in the word of God that we can move. And I said, oh, you learning the principles. You shot the word right back at me. People come to me and say, this happened. First thing I did, read this. Because the word would never lead you wrong. The third step for exercising your authority is the Holy Spirit. John 20:22, Acts 1:8, Matthew 12:28. That dunamis power of the Holy Ghost. See, we will, just because we like to think we know it all, will disregard the power of the Holy Ghost just because he didn't come with the title of God. Touching somebody on this one. We'll even discard and say, well, Jesus is this, but God. Don't you know that there is no differential? It was made very clear that God is one. God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, one. They were all involved. They were all complete. They are all united and unified. I know that I can say Holy Spirit, and I know I'm talking about God, and talking about God and the Holy Spirit about Jesus, and Jesus about God. He will never, you remember that song? He will never lose his power. That same power remains. But do we utilize it? Come on, Holy Spirit, come on up in here. I do. Woo, Jesus. The number four step to exercising your authority is the blood of Jesus. Yes, the blood washes white as snow. Yes, yes, yes. They don't even have to know you're doing it. See, you don't have to be so obvious. Plead the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You may be dealing with a spiritual warfare, a demonic attack, a witchcraft enticed situation. The blood of Jesus can crack it right now, but you must plead it because you believe in it and you know that number five comes into place. Number one, Jesus' name. Number two, the Word of God. Number three, the Holy Spirit. Number four, the blood of Jesus. Number five, speak the truth. If you want to exercise your authority, oh my God, while you are in war, speak the truth. Oh, the truth hurts, but the truth will set you free. But you must speak it. I don't want to get involved in that. They're going to call me one of those Pastor E's. They're going to call me, I'm too much. They're going to say that. You better speak the truth. Let me just say this. Don't get caught not speaking the truth. You don't know the day, the hour, but don't get caught. I know you believe. I know you got faith, but don't get caught not speaking the truth. That the wages of sin is death. That repent. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Speak the truth and you are out the equation. Speak the truth and the truth will set somebody free. And then guess what? When you seek this truth, you know that Jesus said, he says, if I be lifted up, who is Jesus? The truth. If I be lifted up, the truth, he will draw all men unto himself. Stop trying. Put your hand out tonight. This is called a swish movement. Swish. I can't fix it. Swish. Ain't my business. Swish. Deal with myself. Swish. Stay in my lane. A lot of people need to learn that principle. This has been a principle of P2B Ministries for years. But we are about to reinstitute the swish moment. Because every time you want to get into swish, don't do it. Swish, I'm going to get in trouble. Swish, oh, no, I'm going to fail. Swish, I'm going to disappoint God. Swish, I like to say this one, it ain't my business. Swish, swish, that would be probably a lot of us the whole day. Because we worried about fighting other battles and other situations instead of being focused on the war. The war against your mind. The war against your sanity. The war against your spirit. I say it every day. You can say, he says that all the time, and I'll keep saying it. He ain't after your car. He's not after your money. He's not after your job. He's after your mind. He wants to kill, steal, and destroy your mind so you can't be focused. Oh, my God. So you can't be in the opportunity or in the availability to exercise authority. We try to exercise things on our own in the length, width, depth, and height, and we fail. It's not the whole armor of God. It's the armor of you. It's the armor of me. See, you have to know there are adversaries. Bible says there are legions. And he didn't say it was one or two. He said there are many. But there's help on the way. Psalms 34:7 says, in that dimensional, in that spiritual realm, that there is a hedge of protection. Psalms 34:7. A hedge of protection around and about you. But let me tell you something. You must go to work in your garden and put the hedges in the right place put the bushes in the right place to make the hedge complete. See, a hedge is a form of bushes, not just one, but multiple bushes that form a hedge around and about you. Do you know what goes in the east, west, north, and south, and how to support northwest, east, west, north, south, and all the different dimensionals that we are under attack? But you have been given protection. Psalms 91:11 says that he has been given charge. Angels have been given charge over you. Hebrews 1:14 says you have ministering angels. The angels that are camp around and about. Hebrews 12:22 talks about the company of angels. When you know that you're not looking for physical, you're trying to reach spiritual heights. Pressing towards the mark of the high calling. Knowing the safety and the provision of God is in the spirit. But watch out. You better know heavenly places. Remember I said this Saturday when I was sharing this. Just because it sounds like heaven don't mean it's heaven. Heavenly places, Ephesians chapter 6 explains right there at the end of 12. Against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Oh, they look like heaven. They sound like heaven. But do you know God enough to know they are heaven? That now we can experience the relationship of light. See, when you are in the position to go to war at all times, you are standing in the light. You become a child of the light. That now you can let your light shine in war. See, war is saying, I will resist and it'll flee. See, war is saying that no longer I who live, but he who lives in me. War is getting out the way. War is making sure that I am not the reason that I fall. I know you're waiting for a second part. No, see, if I'm not the reason to fall, I won't fall because I won't listen to somebody that's trying to guide me, lead me. I won't fall because I won't be in the wrong environments. I won't be in the wrong places at the wrong time. Jesus, thank you for letting me talk on this a minute. Oh, Jesus. There's a pastor on, they got him on the news and everything, and he's hiding right now. He's on the run. Oh, my God. What you do in the dark will come to the light. And if you are not speaking the truth, you won't be set free. But the darkness will take over the little light in you because it starts to fade away. Now, we pray for the man of God, and we pray that situation is that, because it's out of my, I'm not no judge, no jury, and it's not even my business. But this shows so many times if you are not doing what you're supposed to do, it will come back on you, not next year, right now. See, when you fight a battle that's not your battle, you can always get caught up in something that's not of God. When you're listening to your own selfish needs and desires, you'll do something to feed those selfish needs and desires. If you are spending time with things you know, watch this, affect you, you will be affected. Oh, that's just that reactive state. Well, when I do too much, I'll know how to stop. No, you won't. I could get away with this. No, you won't. This is a time of preparation. This is a season of going to the next level of not worrying about what's behind, but what's ahead. Oh, my God. Somebody gonna catch that one about 5, 4, 3. Bam, it got you, didn't it? Not worried about that stuff because you better look for what's ahead. And that comes from God. That his will is done in and through me right now. Oh, yeah, following Jesus always involves sharing his love. Let me tell you right now, Jesus loves you. If anything that you heard right now said, oh, man, I got a lot of work to do. We all do. There's no graduation, no elevation that leads me to say that I don't keep having to work as hard as I'm working. Every day I go hard in the paint. I'm no different than you. You just caught up by accepting him as your personal Lord and Savior, by saying no more of anything that's not of him, of making a standard of war, not battle, but war, war of the mind, war of self. The war of loving something greater than him. Oh, my God. That now, come on in. Come on in, because see, any message that I give is to tell you that I was speaking to myself, and I hope it hits you to say it's time for you to come on in. Not with me. I pray that the people that he sends my life to mentor and to sow into their lives, that's just what I'm going to do to get you to go to the next level. And then you to get somebody else to go to the next level. And then you to get somebody else to go to the next level of war. War is a mindset. War is a lifestyle. That we could truly talk about Jesus in the true essence. That we could truly abide in him and he abides in us. And we could truly have fellowship with him. Oh, my God. I thank you, Jesus. Heavenly Father God, we thank you for this opportunity to talk about you tonight. We're going to continue this series, Lord, and we thank you that you have given us the strength to continue and to go to the next level. We thank you that you're going to deposit in us every word that you want taught, every word that you want exposed, and every word that you want elevated, that, Lord, we go to the next place in you. We thank you for every listener. We open up the portion room, all the covenant partners that give freely give. I say anything left over right now, I can make it to whenever. Take it right now, Lord. Give it freely to somebody else. I finish strong right now in your presence, Heavenly Father God, that you be glorified, that you be magnified, and that you be lifted up. We talk about you, Lord, that we become more familiar with you. We talk about you, Lord, that we become more intimate with you, Lord. We talk about you, Lord, that you find us pleasing and acceptable in your sight. That we could tell someone else about your love, that we could share somebody else about your joy, that we could share with somebody else about your forgiveness, where we could give to someone else life and life more abundantly. We glorify you. We magnify you. We lift you up on this day. And in Jesus' name we pray. And all in agreement said, amen. Amen. Family, God bless you guys. We thank you so much for joining us tonight for Let's Talk Jesus. As I said, the recording won't be available just the first 15 minutes. We're going to restart this over next Monday and make sure all our programming and all our editing is taken care of. But I know God spoke to me tonight, and I'm just so grateful that you were here. Those that stuck around and those that continue to be on board, know that you are loved, know that you are appreciated. Know that you are honored, but most of all, know that you were beautifully made by God. God bless.
Come on, everybody, open your mouth and worship the Lord. He's worthy of the glory. He deserves the praise today. Come on, everybody, all over the room, open your mouth and worship him. Lift your hands and bless him in this place.
My hallelujah belongs to you. Oh Lord, my hallelujah belongs to you. My hallelujah belongs to you. hallelujah belongs to you. You deserve. Come on, y'all gotta come on, say, my hallelujah. From the bottom of your heart, lift your voice. My hallelujah. Lord, my hallelujah. Yeah. Didn't we simply say, you deserve. Temple say it, church. From the bottom of your heart, tell the Lord, you deserve it, Lord. Yeah. All of the glory, yeah. Everything I give you, Lord. Everything I owe you, Lord, it belongs to you. Y'all got it now. Come on, say it. Everybody, come on and come to the table.